Good morning, everyone. Excuse me. I'm Loretta Wilson, your social action coordinator, and I will be reading the scripture this morning. And it's coming from 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. The word of God for the people of God.
It is my honor to introduce to you our guest speaker, the Reverend Linda Zastovnik. Linda was ordained in the United Methodist Church in 2003, but her ministry in the church began 10 years before that sacred moment. Not having been raised in the church, she was one of those who only showed up on Easter Sunday. Linda always wanted and needed more. She began seeking more and found a personal and life-fulfilling relationship with Jesus Christ. The words from the hymn, "I was once lost, but now am found," became real. Linda holds a master's degree in religious education from the Perkins School of Theology at SMU and has served as an editor for the United Methodist Publishing House. She has served small churches and very large ones, and very one of them have a strong women's ministry grounded in UMW. For the conference, she has served as chairperson for the Order of Deacons and has served on the Board of Ordained Ministry for 10 years. In 2020, she was appointed by the bishop to a new thing she named Awakening Ministry, where she has been teaching small online courses for free, connecting people locally and across the country. As a Christian educator, her passion is evident in her teaching because she loves Jesus and helping the Bible become life. I introduce to you Reverend Linda Zastovnik.
Joe, I'm super impressed. That name's a tough one. What an honor it is to be invited to be with you this morning. I'd like to thank Nancy Ward for her attention to all things necessary in the midst of planning such an event, but in particular for the hospitality that she's extended to me ever since we met. Would you pray with me? Well, God of grace and glory, we have gathered here to worship, to remember, and to love. You are the source of it all, and we thank you. Unite us all whether viewing from a computer screen, a phone, or those here in this very room. Open our minds, our hearts to hear your word this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Loretta, that was beautifully read. That scripture's really a hard one to read, and did beautiful. Thank you. Okay, so you've heard jokes about changing light bulbs, right? For example, how many therapists does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, but that light bulb's really got to want to change. How long does it take for a pastor to change a light bulb? No idea. Everybody fell asleep during the sermon while she was telling everybody about it. How many United Methodists does it take to change a light bulb? No, you can't change that light bulb. It was a gift from the Foster family. Change is rarely a joke. In fact, it can be stress-filled and quite unnerving. Few people welcome change, and I am one of them. I don't like it. My anxiety goes up, and I spend a lot of time worrying, most often about things that are beyond my control. I love seeing your nodding heads. You get it. Changes happen all around us, all the time. My friends and I share our struggles with changes in technology. As soon as we learn all that our phones can do, they've released a new one. I've recently added an app that will open my garage and turn on the lights in my house from my phone. It's amazing, isn't it? But then I needed a new modem, so my Wi-Fi password changed. Now nothing works. Changes can be so frustrating. But change is all around us. The news details it 24/7. There are climate changes and weather changes that bring about massive life changes. COVID has changed our lives forever. Time changes. Spring forward, fall back. Every second ticking on a clock is a constant change. Leadership changes. Elections lead to changes in government, which change priorities, which change policies. Our understanding changes. Civil War statues that once were symbols of history have become places of controversy and pain. As we come together today, we are remembering that during pandemics and wars, in life and in death, in hopes and in fears, God is with us. While our denomination is on a threshold of change, I assume you've heard of that, right? The United Methodist women are going through changes also. It's not just a name and a logo change. Here's the official statement that I read. The changes aims to welcome current members whose local churches choose to disaffiliate from the United Methodist Church, as well as women from other faith traditions. So the way I see it, the changes happening in our church denomination have led to the leadership of UMW to think outside the box. As United Women in Faith, we are doing what the church, what the country is struggling to do. Stay friends with each other. There is so much division in our world, in our country, and in our communities, and in our churches. Over the past few years, our views on politics, vaccines, and masks have come between us. We are more divided than ever. Our churches need what United Women of Faith can offer, will offer. We are living hope. Living hope for this present moment and for the future of the church. Not just the United Methodist Church, whatever that's going to look like, but the church. We are living into the promise of God, the hope of what we can be, one body in Jesus Christ. If only it were that easy. Truth is, most of us, well, we were fine with the way things were. Most of us don't see any reason to change a thing. But our leaders, they're looking at far more than what we can see. So changes have been made. And we can resist the changes or embrace them. This is the Choluteca Bridge in Honduras. This bridge was constructed to withstand the strongest of storms. When Hurricane Mitch hit in 1998, there was catastrophic flooding. Many bridges were destroyed. But this bridge, it didn't move. But the river did. After the storm waters receded, the river, which had once flowed underneath the bridge, now flowed around it. Now, it doesn't matter how strong the bridge is. As a bridge, it's now useless. It no longer has a purpose. Now, to me, this image speaks to us personally and for us as a church. The river represents our lives, ever flowing, sometimes gentle and peaceful. Remember those days? And other times, it's like we're navigating through the whitewater rapids, dodging the boulders as they come into our path. A storm can come along and make us move, even outside of our boundaries. Now imagine with me that the bridge is the church. Strong, but unchanging, while we are being moved. It is possible that the changes in our lives will affect us to the point that we are no longer connected to the church. It no longer covers us. In fact, we might even find ourselves walking around it. Many people do. Will the church stay in one place, like the bridge? Or will we choose to get out our hard hats and tools for the reconstruction? You see, that is what they did with the Choluteca Bridge, and it is now a bridge again. Change is stressful. How many of the changes on this list of stressors have you experienced? Life's full of them. Change in schools, getting married, having a baby, getting sick, relocation, buying a house, selling a house. Divorce, job loss, death of a loved one. Now, this is just a short list. Each change in our lives comes with stress. Some changes, the stress is minimal. But for others, it's big. It's really big. Some changes even invite us to rethink everything. 2 years ago, all of our lives changed. In 2020, during the months that the church buildings closed up and we all got shut in, I, like many other people, got very depressed. Everything I knew, which as a pastor is very people-centered, everything I knew was changing. We were disconnecting from one another, and I felt as if I no longer had a purpose. But one morning, as I was wakening, I listened closely to what I believed God was inviting me to do. In my darkness, I began to see the light. I reached out to everyone I knew and I offered an online Bible study. Now, everybody's doing it. But 2 years ago, in the midst of an isolation that none of us had ever experienced, this was a new thing. Groups of people I contacted said yes and came together online using Zoom. I was learning just along with everybody else. But I was back to doing what I loved, teaching the scriptures and helping people get what God is doing within these stories, and then wondering what God was up to with us. Within a month, I had established Awakening Ministry, where small groups from all over the map are now coming together online, one class at a time, because church is now happening online. I never believed it was possible until I experienced it. Now, I still ache for what we're doing here in this sanctuary, coming together face to face, hearing you sing. Oh, just makes my heart so happy. Hearing you sing makes my heart so happy. Coming together around this table where Jesus Christ feeds us. But as my ministry changed, I and others have experienced something we never would have imagined. Now I'm still discerning what Awakening Ministry will, how Awakening Ministry will fit into what God is doing in the world, but I know it's good. Sometimes changes turn out good. Change is a part of our lives. The sooner we accept this, the sooner God can use us. And the more we focus on others rather than ourselves, the clearer we will see what God is doing through the changes. Because God is at work through changes. All of creation changes. Time changes. Seasons change. The tide throughout the day changes. Even our bodies change. We even call it the change. In the midst of change all around us, one thing is true. God doesn't change. There are many scriptures that declare this to be true. Probably the most quoted is from the prophet Malachi, who speaks the words of God when he says, "I, the Lord, do not change." So if God doesn't change, why must we? Well, that's a question that invites me to open my Bible. As I look through these stories, I discovered from the very beginning, from the moment God first spoke, there was change. God created, and the changes began. First, there was light, then sky, stars, land, and then animals and humans, and change just keeps on happening. Are you ready for this list? Names change. In the beginning, God's people are called Hebrews, and then Israelites, and then Jews, finally. And this is the same group of people, it's just a different time in their history. Throughout the story, the people's names get changed. Abram becomes Abraham, Sarai becomes Sarah, Simon becomes Peter, Saul becomes Paul. Throughout the story, names are changed. Their status changes. Humans were born free, raised in the garden, then marked by sin. They become enslaved, not only in Egypt, but by sin. But then Jesus Christ, through the cross, sets us free once again. Their locations change. God calls Abraham to come to the land of Canaan. But then, because of the famine, they head south to Egypt. During what's called the Exodus, they then move and wander through the wilderness from place to place for 40 years. After finally settling in the promised land, they thought they were going to get a rest. Well, the Israelites then get captured and they're taken away to foreign lands, what's called the exile. Throughout their story, their location changes. Rules change. Mercy. Initially, God's people are told to follow the Ten Commandments. You thought it stopped there? No. The Ten Commandments turned into the 613 commandments called the law. And finally, Jesus says, these are all summed up with two: love God and love others. Food rules change. Don't eat this, don't eat that. But then God says you can. And one of the biggest rules ever, circumcision. It's a sign of the covenant. But then, it's no longer a requirement because of Jesus Christ. Their leaders change. First, the patriarchs. There's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But then God calls Moses and Aaron and then Joshua. Judges were named to be their rulers. And later, kings were anointed. Some were good, some were evil. Throughout history, God has used different leaders to govern for a purpose. There's a change in the way they worship. It starts off where they build an altar of stones. Noah was the first. Then God provided the blueprints for the traveling tabernacle. Finally, the glorious temple gets built in Jerusalem. At the time of Jesus, though, the Jews were worshiping in synagogues. And the Christians were worshiping in people's homes. Finally, the most remarkable of all, there's a change in the chosen people. God's people were the Jews and only the Jews. But following the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's people included Jews and Gentiles, all of the people of the world. The Bible is filled, clearly, with stories of changes. Throughout all of these changes, God has a plan and a purpose. And not all changes are caused by God. We do not believe that God brings flood and fire intentionally and death, as some of the stories of our past might proclaim. We've since learned that there's climate changes that cause these disasters. But isn't it interesting that we're all so resistant to change when it is a part of life and central to the story of our faith? I wonder if there's so much change around us in order to draw us to the one who never changes. That when we're on shaky and soggy ground, we can look to our God who is always rock solid. I live around farmers up in Catawba, and I've learned their secret in plowing a straight line in the field. You keep your eye on a fixed point before you. Have you heard the one about the farmer who taught his son how to plow? He told him to find a fixed point in front of him. But when the farmer went out to the field, the furrows looked like a corkscrew instead of a straight line. And the father asked his son, well, what happened? And the young man said, I don't know. I kept my eye on the cow. Friends, God never changes, but God will move. Because remember, God is with us. We can trust that God's going to move with us and will guide us as we go through changes in our lives and in our churches. Through it all, we are moving forward. Let's keep our eyes fixed on God. The path might not be straight, but the plowing will continue, just as God intends. We have an amazing history, which began as Methodist Women's Foreign Mission Society, then the United Methodist Women, and now United Women in Faith, of Faith. Now, although God never changes, the Son of God, Jesus, lived a human life of change. Following his birth, he moved from place to place. His job changed. He experienced grief and persecution, torture, and death. Didn't stop there. His death resulted in the greatest change humankind has ever known. Resurrection. Life everlasting. This is good news. Some changes can bring new life. And that, my friends, is called living hope. Christ has died. Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. We say these words, and we will say these words in just a moment when we come to the table. Through this meal, this tiny piece of bread or wafer and a drop of juice, we're going to get changed. Every time we do this, we get changed into the body of Christ. Together we become one. Some changes we can't see happening. Change is everywhere, but Jesus Christ, our living hope, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.